Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel 5:3. We now return to a topic which we had at the end of the last Perek, which is when do we have to be afraid that a Gentile has tampered with wine that's supposed to be kosher and they're rendering it now Yai Nesach or maybe Yai Nesach and therefore forbidding it. So while we had in the previous Perek situations in which the wine essentially was in the auspices and the premises of a Gentile, here this is going to be Jewish wine, but there's a Gentile nearby. So here are the cases. Mishnah Gimel has one, and there'll be two more in Mishnah Dalet. And actually, Mishnah Hay is also this kind of topic, essentially. So the Mishnah says inside, Over kochavim shahaya ma'avir im Yisrael kadeyayim emakum lemakum. You have a Jew. He has his kosher wine. He's transporting it from A to B, and he has hired a Gentile to do the schlepping. And the Jew's going along for the ride. Maybe it's just to keep an eye on him, whatever the story is. So when do we need to be afraid that the Gentile snuck his fingers inside, he's an adulterer, not just a Gentile, he's an adulterer, and stuck his fingers inside the wine and did a little mini libation? When should we be afraid of that? So says the Mishnah, Im hay b'chezkas mishtamer mutter. So long as at all times the status quo of the Jew keeping his eye on things prevails, meaning, saying in different words and not translating literally, if throughout the entire process the Gentile worker is afraid that the Jews got, you know, will see him that moment tampering with the wine, then everything's going to be okay. Cheskas mishtamer, I always translate chazaka as status quo, the presumed situation, the status is mishtamer, it's under the guardianship, the watchful eye of the Jew, then it's okay. So now, what's governing this Mishnah, and the Mishnahs that come ahead of it, are that it seems that there's like two tensions pulling on in the mind of every idolater. On the one hand, he values his reputation greatly, and he would never do something which he could then be caught out to be seen to being some kind of a fraud or a crook or doing something inappropriate. So he's going to not do things that would allow him to get caught. On the other hand, it seems we're concerned of the real possibility that at least some, not zero percentage of the population, would stick their fingers in the wine and do a little mini libation or dedication to an idol, etc., if they could. So we're vigilant for that. Okay? So essentially, therefore, the Mishnah is going to, and this Mishnah, the next Mishnah, and the following one, they're all going to basically be predicated on the assumption that if the Gentile could get away with it, we have to be afraid that he did try to do it, and therefore the wine becomes forbidden. Whereas if he wouldn't risk it because there's an outside chance right then and there the Jew will spot what he's doing and then call him out on it, and whatever the consequence will be, there'll be. So then we assume that the Gentile didn't do it. Okay, so now we get some more examples along those lines here. But now, our Mishnah here, this first case about with the Cheskas Mishtamer, we're talking about the Jew was the employer, the Gentile is moving around, and so the Jew is kind of present all the time. It wouldn't be the case if the container of wines were open, where the Gentile essentially could just stick his finger in and say, oh, it was an accident or the like, because remember, he's moving the barrel, so then he wouldn't be embarrassed. He could just give a good excuse what might happen. So but we're talking about, well, at least there's like a lid on the container, even if it's not a sealed lid, it's just a lid. So now says the Mishnah further, Im hodio shehu maflig, if the Jew informs the Gentile, the idolater, that the Jew says he's going away for a bit, maflig means to go a distance, to be distinctly apart, okay? So, and now that opens a window where the idolater could do his tricky libation and not get detected. So then, it's a problem. If the Jew goes away long enough, kadei sheyishtom v'yistom v'yigov, says Tanakama, if the Jew's away from his wine long enough for the Gentile to essentially drill a hole into the container, get access to a little bit of wine, and then reseal it, because this container here, which is sealed with, like, say, like a clay seal, for example, or the like. So then, which is how they did it. Typically, they would basically seal their, like, these kind of tall, skinny amphora jugs. The top would be sealed off with some kind of quasi-permanent seal, like a clay seal, to keep the wine in there, it's safe and not get oxidized and so on. So if this enough time for him to secretly drill a hole in, stick his finger in, and then reseal it up, and for it to dry, so it go undetected, then you have to be afraid he did that, and the wine becomes forbidden. Okay? These words, let me translate them for you carefully, because they're not so familiar, all of them. Yishtom, unfamiliar word. It means to open up, not very used in Mishnayos. There is usage of this word in the Chumash, however, when we refer to Bilam, it says he's shesum ha'ayin. This word shetum, like yishtom, means like his eye is opened up, the perceiving eye, but the opened up eye. So the point is, open up a little bit of the access to the barrel. It's yishtom, and then yistom, stima sta means like to close, to seal up. And yigov means to dry out, like the word like negev or magevet, to dry up, to be dry. And therefore undetectable anymore that he tampered with it. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is more lenient. He says you have a longer window of time because he says it's not enough time just for the Gentile to drill a hole and stick his finger in. He says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kadei sheyiftach v'yigof v'sigov. It's enough. He has to be enough time that he can totally remove the seal on top, get the wine, and then reseal it entirely anew, and that new seal to dry. That's a longer period of time. The rationale for Rav Shimon Gamliel is that if you drill a hole in the top and then kind of put like a layer of new clay to cover up your hole, maybe from the outside it becomes non-detectable, but from the inside, if you look in the inside of the container, like underneath the seal, from the outside you'd see that it's been tampered with because there'd be a hole in the bottom which is sealed on top. So you could see he fiddled with it, and therefore he wouldn't even do that, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. The exact words of what he says is yiftach, that the word potech, to open up, meaning to remove the seal entirely, v'yigof. Yigof is to seal up, like to apply a seal, a complete seal, like a magufa is the name, the noun of the seal itself of a wine barrel. And then visigov is the same as yigov, just masculine and feminine, means to dry out entirely. So it's a seal, it's hardened, and you can't tell it's a new seal. Okay, halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so you have this longer period of time, and everything would depend on what the seal was made of and how long it takes to dry things. And the point is, if the crime could go undetected, we have to be afraid that it did happen.